Good morning, saints, those who are dearly beloved of the Lord. It is good to be with you again today, and I trust that you have enjoyed these past 9 weeks as much as I have. I don't want you just to enjoy it. I want you to have received revelation that allows you to walk more fully in what belongs to you as we live life in the family name. Today we're going to wrap up. It's going to be our last session, and we're going to be talking about Jesus today. And we've entitled it at the Lord's instruction. His name is Jesus. And oh, what a name that is, as we'll see today. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we do thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we look to you to teach us, to guide us. I look for you to give me the words to speak and the words of another I won't even listen to. And I thank you that you are going to give revelation to each of your beloved people who hear this today. I thank you for revelation, even as we teach suddenly type revelation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We looked at Psalm 23:1 last week, began to talk there about the Lord, my shepherd. And I read you the Passion Translation, which has a little different slant to it, but it's a biblical and it's a very accurate portrayal of it. It says, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. And that's who he desires to be. The word for shepherd, as we talked, is R-A-A-H, and it literally means in the Hebrew things that we would normally think of, to tend the flock, to pasture or graze that flock, to rule it. But then the last definition that's in Strong's, and I've looked it up in several places, and it's included in each one of these, literally says to associate with as a friend. Oh, how glorious that is, that our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus, desires to associate with us, to have relationship with us as a friend, as he leads us, he guides us, and he provides us everything that we need. We looked at Psalm 80, verse 1, which starts out, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. And what's that indicating? That the shepherd is listening to his sheep. He's got his ear attuned to them. So if trouble arises, so if he hears something coming in the distance, he's in a position to do it. Every need met and covered. And then it goes on and says, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim. That makes me think of our Most High God that we studied, looking at that name. And then it says, concludes by saying, shine forth. Now, shining forth in the light, in the glory, in the power, towards you and I. That's what he's doing, shining forth, manifesting himself. And you're going to see that again today. And it's very important how he wants to manifest himself. Let me say it differently. It's we need to get a revelation of who he's going to manifest himself through so that others may see. Ezekiel 34 has some phrases in it that I think just gives his heart. It says, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. Later in that same, in verse 12, it says, I will seek out my sheep, and I will deliver him. It says, I'll bring them out. This sounds like the four cups that we talked about recently, doesn't it? I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them together. So he's taking us out of the world of sin and bringing us to himself. He talks about feeding us in the valleys and all the inhabited places, in high mountains. Wherever we are taken care of. But he concludes this by saying, I will feed my flock. So he's said that over and over and over, provide all you need. But then this last phrase, and I will make them lie down. This is our time of rest in him. We labor to enter into that rest, but when we are doing his work, when he is working through us, it ought to be done from this position of rest in faith in our Lord Jesus. In John 10:10, Jesus talks about what the thief does, to steal, kill, and destroy. And we likened that last week to sheep who are without a shepherd. And what is the condition of a sheep if they're without a shepherd? They're going to get attacked. They're not going to have green pastures. They're not going to have water. They're not going to have ointment to keep the flies and to keep the sickness and disease away from them. They lack everything. But in verse 11, he says, but I am the good shepherd. And again, I just remind you, how are shepherds judged? And you cannot separate the fact that he's a good shepherd from the fact that God loves you. Now, in verse 27 and 28 of that chapter, it reads this way, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So we can't say, can we? I just can't hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus said we could. Jesus said he knows you, and he's fellowship, desires to fellowship with you so that every time he speaks to you, you hear it. And then he says, "I'm giving eternal life to them, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Praise God. What a promise we have. You know, when he looked over Jerusalem in Matthew 9, and he was going about healing and preaching and setting people free, at the end of this two verses in 35 and 36, he said, "My people are weary. They're scattered like sheep having no shepherd." And what do you see there? Great compassion on his part. Another account in Scripture actually says that he looked at them with great compassion. Now, let me close this review by reading a few verses from Psalm 23 in the Passion. I'm just going to read three. And if I have room, I will include these on your notes. You know we're taping this ahead of time, so I'll have room to put this there if we can. I told you it starts out, "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough." In verse 3, it says, "That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness." And listen to this phrase, so that I can bring honor to his name. Hallelujah. But we see again here, he's doing it for his name's sake, so that his name will be honored through you and I. This psalm concludes in the Passion in this way, "So why would I fear the future? Your goodness and your love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be with you forever," or to be forever with you. So we see here the heart of the Lord is just encapsulated in this psalm, and it really is a great transition, particularly as it talks about that I can bring honor to your name in verse 3, to what we're going to be talking about today, that precious, that mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, our Master, the Lord, his name is Jesus. So in our time today, I want to focus on Jesus and his name. And we're going to also be talking about the fact that Jesus is the Word, and we're going to see how those things work together. But I want you to remember, weeks ago when we were studying Jehovah Jireh, we saw that God asked Abraham to take Isaac, and it says, his son, whom he loved dearly, his only son. And how does that correspond? Just like what the Father says concerning of Jesus. And so he asked him to sacrifice him so that then he would have the right to send his son, our Lord Jesus, into this earth. I want to start today and look at what was prophesied and what it was manifested, what has been manifested about Jesus, but not just about Jesus, but also about his name. And literally, we can say names. But we're not going to be going a comprehensive study on all the names. We are focusing today on the name of Jesus. Isaiah 9, the second verse, New King James. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Now, isn't that what we saw earlier in Psalm 80? Shine forth, manifest yourself. That's literally what manifest means, is to shine forth. And then it says, "Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Now that shadow of death in a land is we walk through that now. We've been removed from that. He's taken the keys from the devil, from death, hell, and the grave. And so, as I said earlier, a shadow never hurt anybody. The devil may try to make it look like it, but this says that upon us who were at one time dwelling in that shadow of death, a great light has been shined. And that means what? Darkness has been removed. Light and life. Now in verses 6 and 7 of that same chapter 9, It reads this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." And then look at this, "and his name will be called." And look what the people are going to say about his name. "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7 continues, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." And thus the title for the session we did on Shalom, Ever Increasing Peace. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, he's going to be here to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, ever present, just as we saw in the book of Ezekiel. He would be there from that time on in that city. And then it concludes by saying, "The zeal of the Lord will perform this." So let's just note, we again talk about the name. On the scripture that talks to us a child being born, it brings up his name, even though it doesn't give us that name right at that point. Then it talks about judgment and justice. And why is that important? Because he came to take the judgment for our sin and then to deliver justice to you and I today, because he has been judged for that sin. Thus, there's no judgment upon us. And then it concludes with this phrase, "The zeal of the Lord will perform this." Now, as I was preparing these notes, the Lord spoke to me and just prompted me to look up that word for zeal. I thought I knew what zeal meant. But listen to what it means in the Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word Q-I-N-A-H, kinah, and it means jealousy or envy. May I say it this way? His desire to have his man back drove him. It will accomplish what has been prophesied here. That's the essence of it. He desired, he envied, he wanted that relationship back with you and I so bad that it caused him to have this plan to send Jesus to bring us back to himself. Then in Isaiah 7, the 14th verse, we see here a prophecy about what his name will be called. And it said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." So the Father is saying, I'm involved in this entire matter. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Now, let me say one more time. Christians, those who believe in Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord and Master, must believe in miracles. There's no way out of it. And the miracles are equally available to you and I today, as we're going to see momentarily. And then this one concludes by saying, that they shall call his name Emmanuel. And so what do we know? El, meaning God, with us. And that again was Jehovah Shema coming to the earth. Now Mary and Joseph were both given instructions from the Lord through angels in Joseph's case, in a dream, that they were to name this son Jesus. Now, that name was given as what? The Son of Man. And I think it's important that we note he's referenced more as the Son of Man than any other reference. And that manhood, that coming to take our place, becoming as we are, living on this earth as we can, as we do, he came to do the work of the Lord. The New King James says concerning Joseph, and she, talking about Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then it concludes in Matthew 1:21, saying this, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, whose people? His people. His sheep. Our great shepherd. The word in the Greek for Jesus is Iesus, and it's spelled I-E-S-O-U-S. And in the Hebrew, it's Yehoshua. Now, in the Greek, that word Iesus literally is translated Jesus or Joshua. But in the Greek, this word Yehoshua is what? It is a combination of two words, from Yahweh and also from a word which means separated or saved or delivered. And so those two words put together then really mean the Lord's salvation. taking us out from that state of death that we were in, and bringing us over into that glorious light that is shining forth. Separated from sin, separated to God. No sin to our account. And also, equally important, no impact of sin. In other words, no punishment. Jesus took that punishment by the stripes on his back, by the torment, mental torment that he went through to give us peace. All those things have been removed. We've been delivered from it. And it happened how? It happened just as the Lord had prophesied. He sent his Son, his only Son, the Son of his love. Now, it's interesting to me in all this, as we talked about shepherds last week, not being highly esteemed, yet certainly the Lord esteems shepherds. We see that clearly, even in the fivefold ministry gifts that he's given to us today. Who did he reveal this forthcoming of Jesus to on that night? The shepherds. Isn't that interesting that he would give the shepherds, those who were thought of as lowly, who were not important, candidly how some of us probably thought about ourselves, he would give that revelation to them. So I would say to you, how much more revelation will he give you and I today concerning his Son? So Jesus came, and he came for our sins to set us free, but he came also to do what? To reveal the Father, to reveal his nature, his goodness, his character, his love to all people. We've seen in this study, both to Jews and to Gentiles. And as he did this, what he was really doing, as we've seen in this study, is he displayed all the names of the Lord in his time of ministry on this earth. That's why he could say to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, in early in John 14. But I want you to look at some things that Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John. And we're going to pick up some phrases from four verses, and or really just three verses, I guess. One verse we're going to cover twice. But I want you to see this. Now, you're going to recognize this because we talked about this 10 weeks ago in our very first session, but we went through it very quickly at the end, and it's really going to set the tone for what we're going to finish today and for what is coming in the next series that the Lord has given us. In John, the 17th chapter, the very last verse, verse 26, and again, we're going to read phrases. That verse starts out by saying, Jesus summarizing what he's done, and he said, I have made thy name known to them. Now, how did he make his name known to them? Well, we get an answer for that if you'll turn back to verse 6. For me, it's on a different page here. In verse 6, it starts out and says, I manifested thy name to men. Now, the word for manifested there is a Greek word, which is spelled P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O, and it means to render or to make apparent. So, from that, we say, well, what did he do to make his name apparent to all the people, to make his character? Now, again, remember this word manifest, or to render apparent, comes from a Greek word which means shining or to shine forth. And again, it takes me right back to Psalm 80, verse 1 that we read earlier about the Good Shepherd. Shine forth, it says of him. So the question then is, how did he manifest his name? Well, look at verse 4 in this same chapter. It says, I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. Now, certainly this includes the cross, going to the cross. But he spoke this to Philip before the cross. So how was he manifesting himself for others to see the very nature of God? Through his healing, through his providing provision as he fed the thousands and the great multitudes, through the miracles that he did, raising from the dead, everything the Father asked him to do, he performed that. Or I should say, the Father performed it. And he accomplished it. So let me read that again. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. Beloved, that needs to be a phrase that we can say to the Lord as our time on this earth comes to a close. I've done everything you've asked me to do, Lord. Now, we've obviously missed it in some areas, but there is still time. I don't care what age we are. There's still time for us to do it. I would have never figured that he would start having me teaching this late in life. And yet it gives life. It brings life to me, and I trust it does that to you. So he said, I've accomplished all the work. Now, let me remind you, he did not do it himself. What did he say? I speak the words, I do what I see the Father do, and it's him who performs the work. Now, I'm saying all that because this is going to be so, so important to you and I. And so let's go back to verse 26, and we're going to see this once again. So let me read the first phrase where we started this little session here in John 17. Jesus says, I have made thy name known to them. And then look at this next phrase, and I will make it known. Now, what does that sound like? I will make it known. The Amplified Bible actually reads, I will continue to make it known. Now, that's really important because Jesus is saying, he's telling him, I'm about to go to the cross, be resurrected, go to heaven. You're going to be sad, but you ought to be rejoicing. And then he's saying, but I'm going to continue to make it happen. How can that be? Who is he talking about? Well, let me just say bluntly, this has to do today with you and I. But it's not just you and I. It has to do with you and I in the name of Jesus. Now, you know what happened. We just went through it. The cross, the resurrection, conquering the devil, ascending into heaven. But let me give you, and in all that, he was exalted and given this name. But let's look again, because I want you to see that this is not the only time this kind of reference is made. Go to the book of Acts, the first verse of the first chapter. This is the first account I composed, Luke writes, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. It continues to say, until the day he was taken up. But notice this phrase, what Jesus began to do and teach. Now, that almost sounds like it's not going to come to an end, does it? Really, it ties right back into, I've made your name known when I was here on the earth, and I will make it known while I'm in heaven. And then what did he tell his disciples in verse 8, and what is our instruction as well? Look, to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and you shall be my witnesses. You and I are the ones that he's going to shine through today to testify of his glorious goodness, to magnify the name of Jesus and to magnify the Father. So the rest of the story of his name encompasses all that he did, but the rest of that story is still being written. I still believe that this book would be better entitled by the authors, the folks who did the King James, The Acts of the Holy Spirit, not The Acts of the Apostle. And I would say to you and I, today, this book is still being written by the Holy Spirit through you and I. Now, there are three aspects of his glorious or his wonderful name that I want you to see. Because today we're going to really just be focusing on the name of Jesus, but you can't separate the name of Jesus from the Word of God, which is His will. Because He is displaying what? The very nature, and this Word gives us the will of the nature of God. So there are three aspects I want you to see. The first is, He inherited His name from His Father. Go to the book of Hebrews, And we're going to be looking at the first chapter, the second, third, and fourth verse. In these last days, talking about God, it's saying He has spoken to us in His Son. So all that Jesus did is what? God speaking to us, showing Himself, whom He appointed, and here's a key word, heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. So we know that Jesus had power to create from the beginning of time. Now that's going to be important for you to consider in just a moment. And then it says, He is the radiance or the shining of His glory. There's that word shining forth again. And I'm going to tell you, we'll see later on this summer in another study as we look at some things about the glory of God, the shining forth, and the power of God. So He is the shining or the glory or the radiance of God's glory, and He's the exact representation of His nature. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And He upholds all things even today by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down. The work was finished. Now, His calling today is still being performed as our advocate. He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels. And look at this phrase. As He has inherited a more excellent name than they. So what name did He inherit? He inherited the name of His Father. The name of His Father. And in doing so, in having that name bestowed upon Him, then the name of Jesus is also what? It is also exalted above all things. So again, I want you to see the radiance, the shining forth mentioned in this verse, the light, the power. Because you're going to see that there is power in the name of Jesus. So He's been given a more excellent name, name of His Father. Now, the second thing I want you to see is He obtained this name. He obtained this name and the authority that goes with it by His conquest and His victories here on the earth. His overcoming. And what is the net impact of all that? So that you and I today are what? Have been made more than conquerors. We have overcome the world. Colossians 2:15 talks about when He had disarmed the rulers and authorities. He took the weapons they trusted in. He made a public display of them, triumphing over them through Him. Glory to God. Jesus absolutely defeated them, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from them. Now, I want to read the Passion Translation to you. It says, then Jesus made a public spectacle, and this ties into the old Roman victory parade that we've taught here several times in the past years. He made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon, and I would say that they trusted in. And listen to this next phrase, and all spiritual authority and power to accuse us. So what do we see here? The devil and his minions have no authority over you and I. And we can go to verse after verse that tells us that. And then it says, by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were His. Oh, I want to say that one more time. He was no longer their prisoner, bound up in hell, sent there for our sins. They became His prisoners. So what does this name represent? A complete, complete, absolute, complete victory. And the power to accomplish it. And again, we can't. You're going to see later on this summer, we're going to talk more about having faith in the power of God. That's just so and so important. And all this is why Jesus could say in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority, not some, not just authority in heaven, not just authority in earth, but all authority in heaven and in earth. All authority today, all authority in the future, has been given to who? To the one whose name is Jesus, our Savior, our Master. And then finally, I want you to see in this third way that Jesus received his name, that this name was conferred or given to him by the Father. Now, we alluded to this in the first one as he inherited it. But in Philippians 2, the 9th and 10th verse, and I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation because I think it's really a great explanation of it. Because of that obedience, Jesus being fully obedient to everything the Father asked him to do. Let me say it a different way. Obedient to manifest or to shine forth God's very nature to people, to show forth the nature of God. Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. Verse 10, the authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to that name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. Saints, this is his exaltation, the exaltation of his name as the greatest name given. Now, let's pause for a moment. And I want to ask a couple of questions, and I'm doing so rhetorically. Why was that name given at this time? And certainly we can say we just saw three reasons why it was. But more importantly, I'm looking at what was God's plan in giving this name to Jesus? We saw earlier in Hebrews that Jesus created. He had the power to speak, and his words manifested. Right? That's what we saw in Hebrews. He spoke to trees, and they were cursed. He spoke to wind and rain and storms, and they ceased. He spoke to a man, and he rose from the dead. He spoke to a young man and raised him from the casket and gave him back to his mother. So he had this power working through him already. So again, the question, if he was doing all these things, why would God exalt his name? And I would say this about it, and I believe this is absolute truth. I would submit to you that he was given this name for mankind, for you and I, to be able to use as we live life here on this earth today. I have not found a scripture, and I won't say that I've looked so conclusively that I can say every one, but I have not found a scripture that talks about his name and using his name that doesn't have some reference to you and I as the body of Christ. Whose name have we been given? His. And I would submit to you that was part of the Father's thinking, that he would do this and give us his name. So we've been given this name and the authority that goes with it, just as we saw earlier, to use that name. How? Against our enemies. And again, that's not people, but it ties back into using the authority that we've been given on this earth over everything, including the demonic realm, but never people. Now, it can be against the demons who are inspiring people. There's no question about that. It can also be used in our prayers and in our requests, or we might say our supplications. What we ask, how do we ask it? We're going to see in the name of Jesus. And the third thing that I want us to examine in our time remaining in this final session today is we can use that name in our praise and in our worship. And I'm fairly certain that this one is probably the most important of the three. And we'll look at some scriptures about it. So it was given to him, I believe, for us to use today as he was exalted. But what did he immediately do? He returned to man the authority that God had given Adam that had been stolen. Now, consider the trust. I'm not sure if I was in Jesus' place that I'd have turned right around and said, all right, I'm going to give it back to you. Use it. Given the track record that man has. But that's what he did. That's the confidence he has. And I've said this before. There is no plan B for his name being proclaimed in this earth. It's you and I. He could write it across the sky. And every person in the entire whole wide round world would see it at the same time. But that's not how he's chosen to do it. He's chosen to reveal himself through his sheep, through you and I. So let's talk for a few moments about the use of his name and the word, because I would submit to you they go together. Psalm 138, verse 2, a verse we've also looked at in this study, says, "Thou hast magnified thy word," this is New American Standard, "according to thy name." I know some translations say above, but literally it means according to or on the same level. And that's so high that if they were, one was a little higher than the other, you couldn't discern the difference. And this is one reason I believe they work together. As we've been given his name and we've been given his marvelous word, his will for us, for you and I. Let me also remind you that 2 Corinthians 1:20, and I'm going to read this from Passion Translation, says this, "For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him." Now, what have we seen already? When you talk about a person, he's only as good as his name. And the name of Jesus and the person, the sinless person of Jesus, who is now the exalted one. And again, I want to remind you, it is the exalted one that we are born again with, that is our older brother. It's not the Jesus, just the Jesus who walked the earth. It is the exalted Jesus that is our identity. That's who we're in. So back up. I'm getting excited talking instead of reading. "For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him. And as his yes and amen ascend to God, we bring him glory." Hallelujah. What is he saying? We get to do these things for his name's sake. He is using you and I to bring glory to his name. His word is truth. It shall come to pass. His name has been given to us to use, and it is above all authority. All authority. Now, let me pause there, because I really got ahead of myself, as you'll see in your notes. And I want to go back to Ephesians 1. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. In Ephesians 1, I had made the statement earlier that it was given to Jesus. He was exalted. That name was given. He obtained it through his acts. He inherited it. It was bestowed upon him. But that word, that name, and the power of the word. And listen to this, to these scriptures, and these are very familiar scriptures. In fact, these are ones that we taught about praying over and over again, over ourselves. But look at what it says in verse 17 of Ephesians 1, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you and I a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, our Lord Jesus." That's what we're getting today. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." That's you and I too. We are his inheritance. And verse 19, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? That in accord," these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, or in the working of his mighty power, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, That same Spirit that raised Jesus dwells in who? You and I today. We've seen that. God with us. Jehovah Shammah. And then it says in 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And now we get to the part about you and I in this verse, what we've just been saying. We've been given that name. We are little anointed ones, but we're not little. We have the same anointing that he walked in. And he put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, his body, you and I, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Glory to God. And we are the ones that get to use that name that has been magnified. We're the ones that get to use his words and the promises of his words to which we declare the yes and amen that we saw in 2 Corinthians 1. And in doing so, then it's imperative that we begin to see that there are two guarantees that we absolutely have concerning prayer. Now, I am not going to say that I am walking in the fullness of every bit of this yet, but I'm way down the road. And you are too. So don't get discouraged. We're growing. If you've participated in these sessions, I guarantee you are seeing more results from your prayers than you have in the past. So we got two guarantees in our prayers, and they're both based on the Word and the name. So let's look first at the Word. 1 John 5:14-15. The name of Jesus represents the man Jesus. The man Jesus is the Word of God. In verse 14, 1 John 5, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Can I go back to Psalm 80, the Lord our Shepherd? The one who hears us, who was attuned to the words, to the sound of his sheep. This is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, then we know we have the request which we have asked from him. There's no ifs about that. That's talking about us acting in faith on his word, hearing his word, seeing it, declaring his word, and knowing that it's coming about. John 15, verses 7 and 8. I want to confirm this with this scripture. This is red letters in our Bible. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Now let's stop there. And my words abide in you. Is Jesus the Word? Yes. Is he abiding in you? Yes. So he's taken care of all that. Now, yes, we need to get to where we know the Word, that the Holy Spirit will reveal them to us. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Again, it doesn't talk about you got to have the greatest of faith. You got to have much faith. It just says, know my words, ask, and watch what happens. Then he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Now, I want you to just take note. We've taught this before, but the word for ask here is a word that also means request, or it literally is submitting a requisition that has already been approved. And it is the word aiteo, A-I-T-E-O, in the Greek. And it means to ask, to demand, or to require. Again, as if a requisition, as if you've got a bill of sale and you're presenting it to pick up something that has been purchased for you. So his word, the will of God, spoken by us, declared, requested, using his name, does what? It brings forth the response that we've asked for. Now, the next thing I want to talk about then is the name. So let's look in John 16, the 24th verse. At the name of Jesus, the Word of God, his word is his will. We know he hears his word, the name. In John 16:24, Jesus says, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, the same word aiteo, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Now, I like the way the New Living Translation portrays this. You haven't done this before. Ask, using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Now, these ought to be great encouragement to us, these verses. My goodness. Ask in His name, ask His words, and it is guaranteed to us. It is a certainty. Let's look at an affirmation of this. John 14, the 13th and 14th. And this is right after it says we're going to do the same and greater works. Jesus says, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father might be glorified in the Son. What we do brings glory through the Son to the Father. Now, that is a picture we need to see that movie clip over and over and over again. You know, the devil wants to rewind what you've done. This is one you can just hit replay. See yourself asking, receiving. See the Father being glorified as Jesus is glorified and turns around and gives God that glory. E.W. Kenyon, who lived and was ministering in the last half of the 19th century and the early 20th century, wrote this concerning these verses. Jesus is really saying, you will take my place down here on earth. I will be your representative in heaven. And whatever you ask in my name, I will make good on it. It will be as though I was on earth asking my Father. Now, as I found that quotation by him, then it immediately reminded me of what Reinhard Bonnke said and wrote in one of his books early on when the minister that was going to be ministering left him with everything. And the Father told him, he said, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. And we're seeing that over and over in these verses. In the name of Jesus is not just a closing phrase, but it is a declaration of the word of God. Our amen, our yes, or so be it. It is us executing the authority we've been given. Jesus is authority. The authority is that is over every power that can be named in this world and in the world to come. So it is our, in essence, power of eternity acting in His place. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, what? You go. You go. And we're going, therefore, in His name, in His authority, and it's just our time and our knowledge and intimacy with Him that brings this forth. Mark 16, we see this displayed by Jesus as He's talking here in verse 17. And these signs will accompany or follow those who have believed in my name. So, are you a believer in the name of the Lord? Yes. And if you're not, then please just drop a note or a comment and we will contact you and pray with you and got all kind of material we can share with you. These signs will follow or accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. Now, if all authority has been given, then who does that mean? The demons must be subject to it too. We actually saw that, didn't we? As concerning the Most High God, where the demon said, Son of the Most High God. That's how they viewed the words. They will speak with new tongues, and I'm going to tell you that is very important. You can execute authority without it, but that helps build you up so that you can. If you pick up a serpent, or if you drink deadly poison, or if you ingest that into your body, it shall not hurt you. And then it says, we shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Now, look at verse 20. So they got these instructions of the disciples. They didn't just sit there. So what are we going to do as we receive instructions? Are we going to be like the disciples? This says, they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with and confirmed the words that they were speaking by signs and wonders. The words of Jesus in their mouth were bringing forth the same results as the word of Jesus when he walked the earth. And the same should be true of you and I today. Isn't that what the 70 said when they came back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name? Listen to passion for that one. When the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them. See that knowledge they had? They didn't ask them. They commanded them. But they commanded them not in their name, but in who? In your name. Glory to God. Acts 4, the 10th verse, the healing at the Gate Beautiful. Peter is defending himself, and he says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. So what is he saying? It's through the power of the name of Jesus. The Passion actually says that. Passion translation. You and everyone else in Israel should know that it is by the power of the name of Jesus that this crippled man stands here today completely healed. There is power in that name of Jesus. So we've seen asking. We've seen declaring it. We've seen the conquering or enforcing what he's accomplished and occupying until he comes. Let's spend a moment looking at praise. Praising the name of Jesus. Oh, that precious name. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Is there glory due to Jesus? Yes. Is there glory due to the name of Jesus, which is his very essence? Absolutely. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us that name, that glorious, marvelous name. Psalm 66, verses 4 and 5 says this, all the earth will worship thee and sing praises to thee. They will sing praises to thy name, Selah. Pause and think about that. They will sing praises to your name. Oh, we get to praise the name of Jesus. And what do we know? As we praise, as we worship the Lord, as we declare the name of Jesus, demons will flee. They cannot stay in it. They will run from that name. Verse 5 then says, come and see the works of God. Now, isn't that interesting? They're praising, and then they say, come and see the works of God. They believe what they're praising him for before they see it themselves. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the Son of Man, you. Now, this week as I was typing up notes, I was doing some studying for another matter, just for my own personal benefit, and the Lord gave me a verse. So I want you to look at Isaiah 65, verse 19 for a moment. And again, I was preparing for this study when and took some time away from it to do some personal study. And verse 24 is the one that the Lord showed me. But verse 19 says, I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And there will no longer be heard in her, Jerusalem, where his people are, the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. Now, this is talking about when they were coming back and returning. But we also know it's a type of us today. As Jesus has come and purchased. I mean, this is after Isaiah 53, so we know it's talking about our day. But I want to ask you, where it says, there will no longer be heard the voice of weeping and the sound of crying, what will be the sound that is heard there? Might I submit to you, you and I praising the name of Jesus, glorifying that magnificent, exalted name of Jesus? Yes. And when that happens, look down at verse 24. And let this be an encouragement to you. Let this be an expectation to have some suddenlies in your life. That's really what the Lord was ministering to me as we're praying for people, to expect this verse to be manifest. It will also come to pass before they call, I will answer them. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Oh, do you see what happens when you worship first? And then you begin to pray. It will come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. And the implication is, I will act on your behalf. Oh, that's so suddenly. It's when we're praying His will, as we saw in John 5:14-15. I want you to see, because I believe I'm seeing some growth in myself, not near where I want to be, but I'm working. I'm moving down that road, down that path of righteousness. As we mature in the Word of God and in the revelation of who God is, say that differently, in the revelation of what His names describe about Him, the very nature that's depicted in those names, and of the names of our Lord Jesus. All it represents, all that those names represent. As we mature in those, then what should we expect? We should also be maturing in our prayer life as well. Equally, exercising our authority, seeing the results. Now, I know that there are times when you get to a point where you just don't know how to pray. And you can pray in tongues about it, but you feel like there's something you need to declare. Let me just say that when you've sought the Lord, and if you haven't perceived a certain verse to declare, and you need to speak, speak the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus encompasses everything that we've studied in these 10 weeks. That's why when things come happen, you've heard testimonies of people who were about to be in a wreck and all they had time to say was Jesus. There is power in that name for you and I, so that the Father is glorified through Jesus. But that is coming from us knowing the name of Jesus and knowing our Jesus personally. I want to close by reading Numbers 6, verses 24 through 27 to you once again. I'm going to start in 23. It says, speak to Aaron and his sons. Now, who was Aaron? The high priest. That's important. So speak to the high priest and other priests. And so we have a high priest who is Jesus. And who are others that are priests? You and I. So this is what we can speak over ourselves. This is what we can speak over our families. This is what we can speak over our friends, people who come to us and submit to be taught. Thus, you shall bless the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. And verse 27 then concludes by saying this, so shall they invoke my names on or over, I would say, the sons of Israel. And the Lord then says, I will bless them. Let me read you that in the New King James. So shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Jesus has put His name and all the authority it represents upon you and I. And as our high priest, He's declared that over us. And as our representative to the Father, then He turns to Him and say, Father, bless them, for they have my name. Glory to God. We've been given that name. Use it. Now, next series, we're going to begin to talk about manifesting, a word we used a lot today, manifesting the name of Jesus. And we'll probably spend 3 to 4 weeks doing this one. I want to bless you. I say these words over you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. You are the blessed of the Lord because you carry and you live life in the name of Jesus. That's our life in the family name. Thank you for being with us. Look forward to being with you again next week. Have a great week.